behold, a fiendish masterpiece.
This is Pickin' with the Pickers. For years, every Friday morning during football season, you've heard legends pick their picks.
Steve Cropkiller, me,
Tanya Tucker,
Rob Schneider,
Dave Mason,
Arsenio Hall,
Charlie Daniel.
It's time to pick the brains of the picker as they tell their tales and pick their picks.
Pickin' with the Pickers is presented by
Landmark Bank, Pickers Vodka, and Tallboy Marketing. And now, here are the hosts of Pickin' with the Pickers, Greg Pogue and John Burton.
It is Friday morning. We list all those legends that have been on over the years.
Yeah, and, it's missing something.
Yeah, and certainly we did it with Vince Gill every show for several years, Steve Cropper every show, and we spread out. And our guest has been with us every year as well to come in and just shoot the bull with us. None other than Daryl Waltrip. DW, how you doing,
hey,
my friend?
Hey, Daryl. Morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I was listening to the Legends promo there, and I kept waiting, but I haven't made the list yet, but I will one day.
No, no. Hey, thanks for doing this, as always. It's always fun to have you on, and happy New Year to you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, how glad are you to be into 2021 out of 2020?
Well, 2020 was bad. You know, this was a year that none of us will ever forget. I hope 21's not that way. The racing world is upside down. You know, sports upside down. It's a tough situation we all find ourselves in after this past year. But hopefully, better things are, you know, in the future, and we can forget about 2020 and just say we had hindsight and move on.
But it was really NASCAR and the Cup races, especially, that brought sports back, because they were the first ones out there.
Yep.
Yeah. It, you know, our sport maybe. I always think about our sport being a little bit different, but then you think about a football team. You got players on the sideline. You got players on the field. We got cars on the track, but we got pit crews in the pits. So I think being outdoors, you know, has made it a little easier for us. And I give NASCAR a lot of credit. I mean, they were sort of they took a chance and decided to, you know, try to get all the races in, which they did. Was amazing that they were able to, you know, adjust the schedule around where we could go to different places, do different things, but still get a number, get all the races in, crown a champion. So I think we set the stage. I think people saw what we did. I think the NFL saw what we did and other sports, and they did follow suit. So from that perspective, I think we've all learned a different way of doing business, you know, whether it's Zoom or, you know, on the computer or whatever it is. How you have to adjust, we've all made those adjustments, and we probably learned a lot of things about what we can do in the future.
Yeah, but I think on the good side, it really helped put NASCAR back on the map, as they were the only game in town for a while, as Greg mentioned. And you guys got a lot of, you know, national media exposure, and maybe the quote-unquote casual sports fan looking for anything to watch other than, you know, Netflix was going to tune in and watch a race, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we did it right.
Yep.
They did a lot. They did a lot of research. They did a lot of planning. And the teams, the thing about our NASCAR teams is they're so flexible. And, you know, the NASCAR will make a rule, and it seems like, oh, gosh, this is going to be so – it's devastating. It's going to mess everything up. But the teams always react and respond to whatever the situation is, I think, better than any other league in the business. So, again, I think we got good leadership. I think this pandemic and the things that happened around us this past year fell right into our leadership wheelhouse. They thought outside the box. They were cautious. They did everything they were supposed to do. They followed all the protocol. And I think it just – I think it opened the door for everybody else to say, okay, they did it, so, and here's how they did it, we'll do the same thing. And so I'm pretty happy with what happened in 2020 from a racing standpoint.
Well, yeah, and, you know, talking about getting new fans, I remember doing a story last year on a former Titans player, Bernard Pollard, who, you know, during quarantine, you know, discovered NASCAR and became a huge fan, and you know, he watched every race every week, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people, you know, the thing about racing, it's just kind of interesting. If you've never been to a race, if you've never smelt it, felt it, touched it, been a part of it, maybe you sit down in front of the TV and you're not real sure about what's going on. You see a bunch of cars going around in circles. you know, what the hell are we, what are these guys up to? But I think when you get inside the sport and you get to know the drivers and their personalities and the teams and what it takes to build a car and what it takes to get a car to the track and all the intricate things that go around what makes our sport operate, I think it becomes very interesting. And, you know, with all the technology that we have, I think that a lot of younger people are starting to realize, you know, that it's not just, you know, it's not just a car you buy at some junkyard. It takes a lot of engineering and a lot of thought and a lot of processes to put that car on the track. And then the drivers are personalities. They're all outgoing, and they love the fans, and they react to the fans. And so I think all things considered, when you put it all together, I think NASCAR is just a cut above everybody else. And I don't mean anything bad about the NFL or anybody else, but sure. I just think the way we approach things and the way we treat the fans and how important the fans are to our sport, I think that's what makes a difference.
Picking with the Pickers, brought to you by Pickers Vodka, Landmark Bank, Tallboy Marketing, Darryl Waltrip with us. And you talk about touching it and feeling it and smelling it. Certainly the fairgrounds here, a large part of what you are was developed at the fairgrounds. And lo and behold, we go since 1984. Now, I know the Super Speedway had some Busch races, some truck races, some IRL races, but not the Cup. And now all of a sudden... this year at Dover is going to put on a NASCAR weekend. The Cup's coming back for the first time since 84. In 2022 at the fairgrounds, it looks like Speedway Motorsports is going to put a Cup race there. And then we got the Music City Grand Prix in August this year, a road race for Indy Racing League. What's happened? I mean, it's like an alternate universe here. We go for nothing to just about everything.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. The Indy cars on the street race, that's going to be really fun to watch and interesting to see how that works out. The Super Speedway out at Lebanon, that's just been laying there dormant. Haven't done anything with it in a while. Cup cars, I've been here since 84. It's an exciting time. Look, one thing I think we've learned over the last several years, and particularly with involvement with the fairgrounds, is how many race fans are in the Nashville market. This is racing territory. I know they talk about Daytona as the headquarters and Charlotte the teams, but when I think back to the days at the fairgrounds and the Cup races we had there, and all the millions of fans that have followed this sport that live in this area, that's just a natural progression for us to have the kind of racing we're going to have in 2021. I just think it's a reward for all those people that have sat back and hoped and wished and prayed that the Cup cars would come back. Well, they're going to come back to Lebanon, and, you know, eventually I think they'll be back at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, and it kind of started, didn't it, Darryl, when they had the NASCAR awards ceremonies here a couple of Novembers ago, and that seemed to kind of, you know, it allowed NASCAR to kind of dip their toe into the water and see what the interest level was. And obviously, you know, it was a very successful event, and everything seemed to snowball from there.
Yeah, well, Mike Helton, who's the president of NASCAR, he is he loves the Nashville area. He loves Leaper's Fork, and he loves coming here. He's a member of the Hall of Fame there, one of the board members. So Mike loves this area. I just think there's a vibe about the Nashville market, the Nashville area, the city of Nashville. There's just people that are coming here every day, and they come from all parts of the country to live in Nashville. I think all things considered, I can't think. I've been to Charlotte. I've been every major city in the country, and there's no place like Nashville. There's no place like country music, cars, guitars, country music stars, football, soccer, hockey. You know, we've got it all. We got it going on, and I think people are realizing that. And NASCAR loves this market. They always have. They just haven't had an opportunity to showcase the Cup cars until now. And so I think it's a big reward for all the race fans that have hung in there all these years.
Well, in the fairgrounds, I know there was a lot of contention when building the MLS stadium out there and what's happened with the flea market and all those kind of things, what's happened to the track. But in the end game could very well be, if Speedway Motorsports comes in here and puts an infusion of cash into that facility and modernizes it, you know, and makes that whole area just one big, huge complex. It's unlimited what could happen out there. And really, where its strength is, and I'm telling you, is the Saturday night local racing. And to have that back at full strength would be so cool.
It would, and I just think we were out of we didn't have any options for the fairgrounds. Tony Formosa and that crowd, they did a great job of keeping it alive and keeping it going. But we had no, you know, we never make it to the big leagues. We're going to have Saturday night racing, which I love. I'm a big believer in short tracks. I'm a big believer in those Saturday night races. That's what creates a Sunday fan. But we didn't have a lot of options. But when Bruton Smith's group and Marcus and Jerry Caldwell and that whole crowd, they got interested in the fairgrounds. Like you said, they modernized that place a little bit, do what has to be done, and get the fair board on board and let them, if they participate a little bit, they're two, the fair board's two, and Bruton Smith's and his crowd's two, and we're going to end up with five. So I think the soccer team and the racetrack, if they can coexist together, and then and it's right in the middle of town, a perfect spot, I think the sky's the limit. So there's a lot of options that we have that we didn't have a year or two ago.
Darrell, one of the big stories, of course, last year in the NASCAR season was the whole Bubba Wallace situation with what was found in his garage. And I know there's been a lot of debate about, you know, that story, but just the fact that the entire NASCAR family got behind its only black driver and supported him and had his back, it made me feel good. I'm sure it made you feel good as well.
Yeah, well, Bubba's a good kid, and that was a lot of circumstances that went around that whole thing that happened at Talladega. That rope had been hanging there for a long time, I guess. I don't know all the ins and outs. I wasn't there.
Right.
I just know what I read and what I saw and what I heard. But I think it may have been I won't say they overreacted, because you can never overreact, I don't guess. But bringing in the FBI and kind of approaching it the way NASCAR did, I thought maybe they went a little bit overboard there. But in the end, I think it probably opened a lot of eyes. And I think, you know, Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin are going to have a team next year, and Bubba's going to be their driver. And I think it really it put a lot of emphasis on Bubba and what he means to the sport. And Black Lives Matter, and those things are part of our society right now that we just have to learn how to navigate with.
A lot of movement. Certainly, every year you get that, and you mentioned that. And how cool is it going to be Michael Jordan as a
the
team?
Goat.
Yeah,
and getting into NASCAR.
Talking
that's
about
cool.
Putting a whole new set of eyeballs. But looking at the 2021 season, I know we're several weeks out from the Daytona 500, but who do you like this year? Who's up and coming? Who should we be paying attention to?
Well, I think there's two entities I think you're probably watching. Kevin Harvick and his crowd, they made no chance. He and Rodney Childress will be back together. I got to think he's an odds-on favorite to be a contender for the championship. Martin Truex is always there. Kyle Busch, they made some changes on his team with a new crew chief. You know, when Kyle Busch doesn't win but one race in a season, probably need to look at your whole program, and they made some changes there. Joe Gibbs did. And then the young guys, you know, with it's Eric Jones, he's going to be in the 43 car. That car hadn't shown any potential to be a winner, but Eric's a great driver, and maybe they can, a little influx of cash and some new excitement, and they might step up to the plate as well. So a lot to watch. Childress's young drivers, over there, and just a lot of young guys. Chase Elliott's going to be the defending champion, and I raced with his dad, Bill, and Bill was a great guy, and Chase is a super kid, and he's going to be pretty hard to beat. They've added a bunch of road courses, and he's pretty much become the road course king. So, it looks like the Hendrick guys will be pretty tough. Alex Bowman, I don't know. There's a lot of storylines that have to get started here and see what's going to play out and who's going to be hot and who's not. And I think they're going to run the same car again this year that they ran last year, and that's good for the teams. It doesn't mean it means they can settle. They don't have to build those new cars just yet, and So that new car coming online in 22. There's a lot of things going on that will make the sport interesting and kind of fun to keep up with. It's always hard for me to know who's going to come out of the woodwork and be a surprise all of us, but the stars will be the stars. You know, the same guys, the cream's always going to rise to the top. Those are the guys you got to beat, and it's a matter of whether these new teams and new guys can get together and do it.
Yeah, you kind of alluded to it, Darrell. How excited are you about these young and up-and-coming stars on the NASCAR scene? Because I know that's one of the things that made the sport so popular outside of certain regions was these dynamic stars and their personalities. A lot of those guys have, you know, stepped away over the years. Do you think there are enough, you know, young, charismatic stars coming up to kind of help increase the popularity of NASCAR?
Well, it's always a crossroad. You know, when every 10, 15 years we have a changing of the guard. You know, the older drivers retire and go off and do what older drivers do, and a lot of young kids step up, and we don't know a lot about them. And so then you have to decide, well, my driver was, Jimmy Johnson, and he's retiring, so now I got to decide who I'm going to pull for. I think there's always that little bit of a lull where your older drivers kind of step aside and some new kids come on the scene, and you get a little excited about one of them. Chase Elliott is certainly – got a lot of people's attention. Comes from a family of racers with his dad, and there's just a lot to consider. And I think with these young drivers, it opens a lot of doors. It gets us maybe back in touch with some of the younger crowd that we've lost over the years. So I think we're at a kind of a crossroads. Mm-hmm. I think NASCAR is with leadership. I think the sport is with the equipment. And then the drivers. So there's a lot going on, and we'll have to see how it shakes out.
You want to hear something funny, Darrell? When you won the Daytona 500, there's so many iconic things that you remember in sports, certain pictures. After you winning the Daytona 500, it's you doing the icky shuffle. And then 30 years later at Daytona, they had you reenact it, and I was watching a YouTube of it. You still had the moves, man. You still had the moves. But guess who's going to be on our show Tuesday? And if you want to say something, hello to him, we'll replay it for him. We've got Icky Woods coming on the show Tuesday.
Are you kidding?
No,
me?
I'm not. Yeah, just a
wow.
Well, he's promoting something, and a PR guy reached out, and we said, "Heck yeah, we want him on."
Yeah.
So and the two tied together, but that thing took on a life of its own, didn't it?
Well, it was funny because I was down there testing, and of course, it's my 17th try to win the 500, and so when you haven't won it for a while, they always know, what are you going to do if you ever do win it? And I said, well, I think somebody had gone and won the Masters, and they jumped in the pond. I said, I can't swim, so I'm not going to do that. I said, but between now and if I do win it, between now and then, I'll come up with something. And of course, Icky was just that when he was doing the shuffle in the end zone after a touchdown. I don't know if that was the first time somebody had celebrated or not, but anyway, it resonated with me. And so I'm standing there and I'm thinking, hey, I know what I'm going to do, and that's spoke out the icky shuffle, and I called it the tide slide, but they call it the shuffle. Anyway, but it worked out, and it fans liked it, and everything we do, I don't care what it is, whether it's our paint job or uniform or whatever we do it for the fans, we do it for their approval, and I'm not sure any other sport approaches their fans that way. But you got to remember something about our sport: we're not self-sustaining, so we rely on the fans. We rely on the fans to buy the products. We rely on the fans to support us, and we rely on the fans to be at the races. I know it's been tough this past year. We haven't had fans at the track, but we really resonate with our fans, and we try to take care of them. And we try to make them feel like they're a part of our team because we need them. We need the fans.
No question about it.
Well, Daryl, I tell you what, and we're gonna mention because you know that he knows about your Icky Shuffle. Have you has your paths ever crossed over the years?
Never have.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, we'll get you his phone number and you can call him.
do that.
You ready?
He might not lay.
Yeah, that's true.
He stole my dance. What the heck?
Well,
pro wrestling we call it gimmick infringement. So
But, yeah, right.
Yeah, he'll probably say, well, he should have just called it the Tide Slide and left it at that, right? Daryl, you ready to pick some football games?
I race cars, and I know a lot about racing. I love football. I watch it a lot, and I don't know a lot about it. I know the playoffs are a big deal, and I know that what's coming up is a big deal. But I'll do the best I can. What do you got on your mind?
There's thinking too. We're not playing for money. So
thankfully.
I'm out.
All right. Wow, he was setting us up, wasn't he?
He's trying to hustle us.
We got four playoff games this weekend. Packers are 6.5-point favorites at home over the Rams. And it really doesn't matter because once we leave here, we're probably going to forget who all picked what. So
yeah, well, I like the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, and I like the Packers in that game.
Yeah, the Rams are, their two most important players, Jared Goff and Aaron Donald, are banged up going into Lambeau. Yeah. I know it's not going to be super cold, but it's not going to exactly be Los Angeles weather. I think Aaron Rodgers is on a mission to at least get back to the Super Bowl. So give me the Packers, and I'll lay the points.
Yeah, and they're at home.
Here's something else, too. I thought about home field advantage because, they seem to have home field advantage. Mm-hmm. But really and truly, with no fans in the stands, I don't know if that's a big deal or not.
Right.
Without that energy of the fans and promoting the team and cheering them on, I don't know if home field advantage is a big deal or not. You're still at home, and so I'm pretty sure that probably helps, but I don't know if it's as big advantage as it might normally be.
Well, I hadn't even brought to you, John. That reminded me. I heard something that this year, the first year since the merger of the NFL, 1970, mm-hmm. that they keep up with the home records and road records. Mm-hmm. For the first time, it was not all of the home teams having the better record. It was 500 is like 127 to 128 with a tie for the first time ever. So, I just think the Packers are at home. I just think they're sort of on a mission. And, Aaron Rodgers, just the one Super Bowl. I mean, it's the only time he's been to the Super Bowl. So, I think with that. The Bills, of course, the Ravens come in here and beat the Titans Sunday.
They
have the Ravens. The Bills are two and a half.
You don't think I would be pulling for the Ravens, do you?
No. Okay. Well,
I don't think so.
All right. Next answer, John, because he's taking the Bills.
Man, this is a really tough one. I think the Ravens are playing red hot right now, but again, I'll go back to the weather. I don't think Lamar is going to be as effective. It could snow in Buffalo. I used to live there. I'm from that region.
It could snow in Buffalo?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, breaking news.
It could snow here tonight.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I will take the Bills, but I would not be surprised if I was wrong.
All right, I'm going with the one thing that the Bills struggle with sometimes is the run game. Baltimore's going to not only Lamar Jackson. I think the Ravens go in there and
wouldn't
win.
Shock me.
And the Chiefs, it's 9.5. We're going to stick with 10. The Chiefs are 10-point favorite over the Browns. Daryl.
Well, my son-in-law is from Cleveland, and all his family are big Browns fan, and they have suffered a lot through the years, so. It's good to see them, go this far. Baker Mayfield's done a great job with that team, but with Mahomes, I don't know, boys. That's a good one. I'd like to see the Browns win it. I don't know if they can or not, though.
John,
this is an interesting game. The Browns exercised a lot of demons last week in beating the Steelers in Pittsburgh to win a playoff game, their first playoff win since 1994. I believe if the Browns can get a lead, they can really control things with their running game. They're going to get Joel Bitonio back. We just found that out. He will play on Sunday. He's off the COVID list. So that's, you know, that's a key for the Browns. Get a lead and work that running game. And the Chiefs have kind of been sleepwalking through the season, even though they finished 14-2. They haven't played extremely well. All that being said, I think Andy Reid will have his team ready to play, and Mahomes is Mahomes, and he's got, you know, all those weapons. And I think Cleveland's defense is not going to – their linebackers and safeties can't stay with Travis Kelce. I think he's going to control the middle of the field, and that will open up some big plays down the field for the Cheetah, Tyreek Hill. So I will take the Chiefs, and I will lay the points.
Yeah, you drove to Atlanta through New Orleans with that pick.
I did.
Yeah, right. I didn't know if he was ever going to get there.
Saints are 3-point favorites over the Bucs. It's indoors, obviously, in New Orleans in the Dome. Of course, Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, that's you know, I think the winner of that game will be the GOAT. I think whoever wins that game, but those two guys are – extraordinary quarterbacks, have had incredible careers. I don't know. Brady's a little bit older than Brees, but not much. So I don't know. I kind of like the Saints in that game.
Saints have beaten the Bucs twice this season. It's tough to beat a team three times. Give me the Bucs.
The last
is that short enough for you there, Craig?
No, it was DW there. Hey, don't get on me. Hey, by the way, the last
I'm gonna jaw you as soon as we go to break.
The last three times is situation of a team trying to beat a team for the third time.
Mm-hmm.
The team did.
Yeah.
The last three times.
Well, not this time. Give me the Bucs.
All right. Okay. Since I'm gonna, we're not gonna go to a break because he's threatening me.
you're trying to get to Atlanta, aren't you?
Yeah. I'll just hope to get to Mont Eagle. That's all. I'm going to take the Saints to win that one. Now, Daryl, every time I've got the opportunity to interview on the radio over the years, we always closed with Moonlight Barbecue, okay?
I was just up there. I was up there about a month ago, and I got me some chopped mutton and some sliced mutton and off the pit, a couple coconut pies and a chocolate pie. I brought all that stuff home from Christmas. It was great, man. The people, they know how to do it.
In Owensboro, Kentucky, Moonlight. Right now, I'm looking at 3 pounds of chopped barbecue mutton in dip with shipping. So text me your address. It's on us.
Bring it, buddy. Bye. I'll do it. I'll come on your show ever. You get me that barbecue, I'll come on.
Daryl, always a pleasure. Always fun. Thanks for doing this. And thank you for everything you've done.
Well, it's fun. You guys do a great job. And, you know, it's that time of year when, you know, we make a lot of predictions and then sit back and see if we were right or wrong. And racing's getting ready to start here in about a month. So it's things are good. Looking forward to a new year.
Daryl, wish me good luck through the break. I've been threatened here by my partner. So. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it.
I'm out of here.